Happy what could have been, Hazel.
What could have been? I'm really bummed. I obviously everybody knew it wasn't going to happen, but I woke up this morning, and like you said, you know, I would have gotten breakfast going for my son and, you know, get him off to school and come back, get dressed, kind of get ready, and then head over to the ballpark, like you said, around 10:30, 11 o'clock. But, hey, I get to talk to you guys in the morning. That's not so bad. And we'll be watching some baseball on television, I understand, with the MLB. And but it will be, I guess, some throwback games. They're calling it opening day at home. So there will be some baseball being showed today, but not the one, the game that we were all anticipating.
What were you looking forward to the most, Hazel?
I think for me, because having been down at spring training and gotten to speak to a lot of the new faces, I was really looking forward to seeing, you know, Travis Shaw and Joe Panik and, you know, Chase Anderson, who I had, you know, a lot of conversations about how much these guys were looking forward to going to Toronto for opening day. Chase Anderson told me that when he decided to sign on with or when he found out he was, you know, a Blue Jay, he said a lot of guys that had played for the organization or played in the AL East reached out to him and told him what was ahead as far as having playing in front of, you know, a very boisterous and enthusiastic crowd on opening day, told him a lot about the city. And he said when he first found out he was going to be a Milwaukee Brewer, he said he didn't know much about Milwaukee, and he reached out to guys that had played with the Brewers, and they said kind of the same things to him about being excited to go to a new city and kind of having a fresh start, and that he would enjoy the city. And he said he heard a lot of the same things about Toronto. So to me, I was kind of looking forward to talking to these guys after their first game in Toronto and asking them, you know, what they thought of, you know, the packed house and just their overall feelings of being in a brand new city in a new uniform, playing in the American League East and against the Boston Red Sox on opening day. I would have been interested to see and hear about their thoughts.
Yeah. And we were talking a little earlier during the show, hey, so we won't do too deep a dive into the Red Sox, but I mean, Sale is going under the knife. Chris Sale, their ace, having Tommy John surgery. David Price traded to LA. Rick Porcello, who won a Cy Young. I mean, debate his effectiveness the last couple of years, but who did win a Cy Young with the Red Sox a few seasons ago. He's now a New York Met. Like, I'm thinking it probably would have been Eduardo Rodriguez pitching on opening day for the Red Sox. And if you look at what they've got, that would have been a vulnerable team. If there was a team the Blue Jays finish behind last season in the division who they could have leapfrogged this year, I think the Red Sox are that team.
That too. But also remember that the New York Yankees are dealing with a lot of injuries,
right,
as well. So as much as, you know, everybody in the AL East are thinking with everything that's happening around Boston and New York that the Tampa Bay Rays were going to be, you know, the team to beat in the AL East, given the injuries and everything that's happened with the Boston Red Sox. But it's interesting when I spoke to a lot of the Blue Jays players, when we heard about the injuries with New York and stuff that was happening with Boston, they loved the fact that no one was talking about the Blue Jays. They loved, you know, in particular, I've said this before, Vladdy was the one. He said, you know, you just have everybody else talk about all the other teams, you know, don't worry about us. We'll take care of business. And what he was looking forward to, Vladdy said, is he was looking forward to surprising a lot of people. And a lot of the guys would tell me that on paper, it looks like they could come into Toronto and they can kind of walk over these guys. But what they, as in the Blue Jays, what they really were motivated by is the fact that no one was even thinking, with everything that was going on with the other teams in the AL East, no one even brought up the Blue Jays. Everybody talked about the Rays. And I think for them, that was a huge part of the optimism and the motivation going into 2020.
Hazel May is our guest, and she is one of the Blue Jays reporters for Sportsnet. You're listening to Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
With it looking like there's going to be a shortened season if once baseball does come back, how does this affect teams like the Jays where, you know, you're not expecting them to go far or make it? Does it kind of bring them back into the picture? I know me and Scotty were talking earlier about the Leafs in 2012-13, how that really helped that team. But with baseball, does it have that same kind of effect where a team that you don't not really expecting much out of, if they get off to a good start, they do have a chance?
And that's exactly the key, is getting off to a good start, because, you know, in a short season, even though there's a lot of games, I'm hearing, you know, 80, 90, I don't know if it's going to be a 100-game season, but, you know, when you've got a shortened season, it's more of a sprint than it is a marathon, particularly with baseball. And I don't know, you know, I've heard, you know, General Manager Ross Atkins was talking about over his conference call doing quite a number of doubleheaders. And when you think about it, if you sweep a couple of these, you know, doubleheaders over a course of, you know, how many days they're going to play and kind of condense all the games in, say, a week or you know, week to 10 days, if you get yourself off to, you know, two, maybe three really good starts to doubleheaders, there's two wins in the win column already for you. So when you think about it being a 162-game marathon, a shortened season, a great start to a shortened season will carry you. And as the season progresses, that team is just going to build a lot more chemistry. You're going to iron out the kinks a lot quicker. Pitchers will, you know, really kind of feed off each other. They always talk about how pitching is contagious. If you get off to a good start, I think that will really be a good for a team, like you said, that no one really counts on contending in 2020.
So you mentioned the doubleheaders, and if there's going to be more of them with the shortened season, Ross Atkins has said that the seven innings should be looked at for the league. Are you okay with that? And are you okay with a full season of seven inning games, not just the doubleheaders?
You know, I think everyone wants baseball back. I think we're all resigned to the fact that we're not going to get 162 games. To me, whatever kind of season you're going to have in 2020, whether it be seven-inning games, multiple doubleheaders, I would be okay with that. I mean, I think right now with a lot of people in quarantine and self-isolation, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like people have kind of really started to retrospective about how much baseball means to them, how much baseball means to their family. And I think they're going to take whatever baseball they can get at this point. I think when baseball does return, and we all hope it's going to be in 2020, I think people will be okay with whatever kind of season we end up getting. I think we can all agree that when it is safe, as Commissioner Rob Manfred said, when it is safe to return, I think those kind of logistics, I don't think will matter too much to the fans. I think they just want to see baseball back.
With Hazel May. So I go way back in time to Exhibition Stadium, Hazel, and I talk often about watching that super outfield of Barfield, Mosby, and Bell from the bleacher seats at Exhibition Stadium. And my grandparents would go to Dominion and shop. And, of course, Dominions are now all Metros. But back in the day, it was Dominion. And you could get the $2 bleacher seats. It's incredible to even say $2 bleacher seats for $1. And we take the GO train in from either the Oakville or Clarkson station to the exhibition stop and pile on into the old stadium and watch a ball game. You remember some days back at Exhibition Stadium.
Oh, yes.
And you have one story in particular. I got to let you tell it.
Well, okay, so back in the later years of Exhibition Stadium, I know we're dating ourselves, Scotty, my parents would drop off my sister and I at the gate to Exhibition Stadium, and we would catch a ball game, and they would pick us up afterwards. Well, a vivid memory I've had was that we had forgotten our lunch money. Back then, $5 could get you a feast at Exhibition Stadium. So we had forgotten our lunch money, unbeknownst to us. And while we're watching, just, you know, early on in the ball game, second, third inning, we could hear a bunch of guys yelling behind us, "Ladies, sit down, get out of the way. What's the matter with you?" Just yelling. And we were looking, and they're yelling at our mom, who was dressed up in her Sunday best with the big floppy hat, walking up and down each row, calling for us because we had forgotten our lunch money. So all these people behind us were yelling at my mom and my sister and I. As you know, there were no flip-up or flip-down seats back then. It was those cold aluminum bench seats with the number, your seating number on them.
Right.
You know, we would have loved to just kind of slink down into our seats, but we had to raise our hands, and we were like, "Mom, over here, Mom, over here." And it was one of these, you know, as teenagers, you're just, you know, mortified that these people are yelling at your mom, and she is basically disrupting this ball game in her, you know, Easter floppy hat and, you know, her flowing dress. And you just see this, you know, this Asian lady yelling for us row by row as she's making her way up to the bleachers. To me, that was one of the most, you know, funniest memories I've ever had. And my mom to this day is horrified that I'm probably telling this story. But it's times like those where you just, you know, think back to just, you know, the memories you have of the game and just how much the game does mean to a lot of people. And I loved hearing Rob Manfred talk about how baseball will be a really good healer for the country. And Ziggy and Robbie, Scotty, you remember back after 9/11. I mean, baseball was this, you know, this safe space for people to come together and people able to cheer together and celebrate and grieve together. And hopefully that'll do the same for people affected by this pandemic.
Yeah, no question. Hopefully people will feel comfortable congregating. But just one point on that. Your mom got into the stadium without a ticket.
I guess.
Is that true?
She wormed her way in. She knew the section we were sitting at.
Okay.
Just didn't know what row we were at. And I'm sure she said, you know, they're two young teenagers, they have no money, and I'm sure she wormed her way past the usher. But yeah, she got in, and she was yelling for us and was berated by people behind us. And she was, you know, to us, she was the hero that day. But, you know, at the time, we were just mortified.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, long before the days of metal detectors and all that security you needed to get into a stadium, we forget what those days were like, but that they actually did exist.